Newton Media Group, a family of creative services, presents the Voice Over Work podcast, an eclectic collection of viewpoints, water cooler knowledge, and inspirational stories from some of the newest audiobooks on the market. This is Russell Newton. I'll be your host for the podcast, and thank you for listening. Hope things are going well for you today. On the podcast today, we take a little deeper look into a book introduced in a previous podcast with a chapter-by-chapter look at practical self-discipline. Become a relentless, goal-achieving, and temptation-busting machine. A guide for procrastinators, slackers, and couch potatoes. Written by Peter Hollins. Narrated by Russell Newton. Chapter 1. Stop being so lazy. Lazy. There's so much concealed in such a small word, isn't there? Have you ever had a day where, no matter how hard you tried, you couldn't force yourself to do the tasks you wanted to or were meant to? Maybe you had a day spent wasting time online or watching TV, knowing that assignments, important phone calls, or chores were waiting for you, and yet you just couldn't get any of it done. It may have felt like you were moving in slow motion, or just that you had no will to activate your brain from a mode of sloth and sleep. It's a normal feeling, but as with everything, moderation is key. "I'm just feeling lazy" has become a standard way of explaining this inability to find any willpower, passion, or perseverance for a task. But what does it really mean? And does it actually help us understand what's going on in these apathetic moments and help us overcome them? The trouble with lazy is that it doesn't accurately describe the phenomenon we're talking about, and it certainly doesn't offer a clue on how to be better. Lazy is a harsh value judgment, and worse than that, it fundamentally misunderstands a particular pattern of behavior. Using lazy is lazy, funnily enough. In the chapters that follow, we'll be looking at this laziness, not with condemnation, but curiosity. What's really happening when we put off tasks? How can we realistically get better, other than self-berating and writing off sluggishness as an unchangeable personality trait? What is the root cause of this inability to do, and how can we train our brains to move past it, or at least not make it our default course of action? Why does it feel so damn difficult to lift a single finger sometimes? Chapter 2. Formulas for More. We've spent considerable time acquainting ourselves with the emotional and psychological blocks that could be standing in the way of our action. You may have even started to remove some of these blocks in yourself. Should be easy now, right? Unfortunately, there are never any shortcuts to anything that's truly worth having. Even once barriers are removed, or realistically, when we simply become aware and know how they manifest in our daily habits, at some point or another, you need to take action. And that inevitably means effort and sometimes outright sacrifice. There will always be a degree of discomfort involved. Think of it in terms of a physiological example. You could definitely never succeed at a physically demanding task like training for an Olympic event or losing 200 pounds if you were physically battling an illness or were tired and sick throughout. You could only realistically begin once you had removed your physical limitations, but even still, you wouldn't get very far without hard work. That's the discomfort part. Let's now turn to tools that can help us make this hard work a little more manageable once the barriers are removed. We'll consider certain formulas that offer us a methodical way of thinking about how to tackle tasks and keep procrastination at bay. A flowchart to action. Dr. Patrick Keelan's flowchart approach is a way to guide yourself to taking the correct action with your task or procrastination issue, using a series of pointed questions. There are four boxes in the flowchart, but you can also think of this protocol as a series of questions. Remember, this is a model, so use what practically works for you. The question to answer in the first box is, have I made an action plan? If your answer is no, then you guessed it. Your next step is to make... Chapter 3, The All-Powerful Schedule. So far, we've spoken briefly about making lists, breaking tasks into chunks, and then scheduling to do them at various times. Now, let's take a more detailed look at what this actually entails. proper schedule technique isn't necessarily common knowledge. Before we begin, however, it should be noted that although there are many different techniques and approaches, some of them directly contradictory, as you'll soon see, there isn't a right way, except for the way that practically works for you and gives you the results you want. First, consider a basic fact. Time is limited, and time is in fact all we have when it comes to completing tasks. A calendar is just a piece of paper, or digital equivalent, but it represents the available time you have to devote to achieving your goals. The technique of time boxing is something that will seem obvious and natural to some, but a complete revelation to others. Time boxing. The principle is simple. Your to-do list only really comes alive when you take the time to convert each task into a box of time on your schedule or calendar. To time box, you allocate a fixed period of time to work on a certain task. That's it. Though simple, it means you'll be more focused, more efficient, and more consciously balanced in how you tackle the smaller tasks we've already discussed creating. It's a straightforward technique, but needs to be done right. First, consider the tasks or area of life that you'd like to try time boxing. You can apply this to work, your social life, a fixed project, or all your projects in general. It's up to you. Let's say that you're a person from one of the previous examples, and you worked carefully on your emotional barriers causing you to procrastinate, but you still needed a way to Chapter 4, A Return to the Humble To-Do List. Having considered so many of the reasons that we procrastinate and the different approaches we can take to undoing this habit and getting back on track with the tasks that will lead us to our dreams, it's time to take another look at that old organizational classic, the to-do list. It hardly needs an introduction. By making a list, you keep track of what needs to be done, you reward yourself when you do it, and you have a log of what has already been done, often using nothing more than a pen and paper. You make sure that nothing slips through the cracks, and you can carry on item by item in an orderly fashion. Even if you're just writing tasks down on a post-it to remember for later, you're using a form of to-do list and reaping the benefits. As it turns out, there are many variations to this simple theme. Of the methods we've discussed so far, this one arguably actually has the most to do with psychology. Essentially, it's a technique that works with your brain's inbuilt reward system via the neurotransmitter dopamine. The principle is simple. When we get something we want, a promotion, an ice cream cone, a kiss from a loved one, our brain releases dopamine. It's called the feel-good hormone because it does just that, makes you feel good, want more, and seek it out continually. If you can work with instead of against this very basic mechanism, you can make it so that you enjoy and want to do those tasks that might ordinarily make you procrastinate. Make a list. When you cross that item off, you get a little rush of dopamine and feel a flutter of achievement and progress. You associate the task with pleasure. Result? You're more likely to do that task or one like it again. Chapter 5, Adjust Your Psychology. As you've probably noticed, it's not quite what you do when it comes to improving your productivity, but why and how you do it. No matter which approach you try, keep in mind that you're in charge and frequently stop to ask whether a technique is working for you. However you keep your to-do list or schedule, keep a record of how many hours you actually do a day, how you feel doing them, and how much time you spend procrastinating. Drop those ideas that aren't working and double down on those that are. Simple, but it does require time and focus. Let's finish with a few more handy psychological tips and tricks to increase your self-discipline and kill your procrastination habit once and for all. Remember, none of it is gospel. You'll only know if a method has any merit if you take the time to practically apply it in your own life. What's important is that you test it out in the real world and make adjustments as necessary. Coerced compliance. One useful trick is what's called the Ulysses Pact. First, a little story about Ulysses to set the context. In Homer's epic Odyssey, Ulysses and his men sail past the notorious sirens, whose beauty and enchanting singing lure men to come closer and kill themselves on the dangerous rocks. It's a metaphor we can all appreciate. The siren song of our most alluring distractions can feel so strong at times, we find ourselves behaving completely irrationally and steering off course to our doom. Ulysses, however, understands that this will happen and decides to take action while he's still thinking rationally. On the advice of the witch Circe, he tells his men to wear wax earplugs and asks them to tie him tightly to the mast of the ship so that he can hear the song without being physically drawn in. This has been Practical Self-Discipline. Become a relentless goal-achieving and temptation-busting machine. A guide for procrastinators, slackers, and couch potatoes. Live a Disciplined Life, Book 5. Written by Peter Hollins. Narrated by Russell Newton. Copyright 2020 by Peter Hollins. Production copyright by Peter Hollins. Please be sure to visit Amazon.com or Audible.com for more information on this book and the author. Show notes and further information can be found at RussellEricNewton.com. With a collection of trivia, research, news stories, and knowledge from some of the newest audiobooks on the market, this has been the Voice Over Work Podcast, brought to you by Newton Media Group, a family of creative services.